Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
We do welcome you to St. Charles River Church, and if this is your first time attending, we are honored that you are here this morning and that God has brought you here. This is a special day for us today because we are welcoming Pastor Barry back. For those of you who may not be aware, Pastor Barry has... The term that's been used is sabbatical, but it's just been taken the last 4 weeks to kind of to step away and just let God, just spend time with God, God with him, and to not have to worry about the pressures of what's taking place here, but just to get recharged and refreshed. And we are so thankful that he was able to do that. So Pastor Barry, as you come forward, we got one little final gift. Go ahead and come forward here. One of the things that we've talked about that has weighed heavily on this man has been some of the financial issues that we face here at SCRC. And you know that a couple weeks ago that we took an offering.
Right.
And you know the outcome of that offering, because we met the next night, mm-hmm. was $12,500.
Amazing.
And one of the things that we didn't do was... kind of clue Chris Weidenbender in that to keep you out of any communication that we had going on. So I know you've received some emails from him that kind of gave a status of where we were. So I don't know if you really put the numbers together, because after that initial $12,500, mm-hmm. we received a little bit more.
I didn't know that.
So last week we announced at a church, so we had set a goal of $26,000.
Oh, my.
Because that was what we had. That was where we had to get those two mortgages caught up, right?
Right.
So the toll we raised, and just to show you how much this church loves you and thinks of you, we raised $26,072. And so that was our gift to you.
Thank you.
We are, well, that brought us current through April.
Right.
So now we got to kind of start over. But yeah, that brought us current through April, yes.
Jesus. Well, stand and give the Lord the praise he is worthy of. Hallelujah. Come on, shout unto the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. He is good. He is good. He is good. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. On behalf of Gina and I want you to know something. There were times in the last 16 years, specifically the last 8 years, that I felt I had failed you so many times. And I had, in many ways, failed you. And for you to give that gift to me on my first Sunday back, you have no idea. There were times I'd lay there at night and Gina would wake up hearing me cry out to God. I wept before God because I felt I had placed you and I shared this with the elders. I felt I had placed you unwisely in a place that you couldn't bear. And you have shown me, once again, God's grace and his goodness and his mercy is greater than anything according to Ephesians 3:19 that we could ever hope for, ask for, or imagine. And there are greater miracles going to come to this church We haven't seen anything yet. Vera experienced God's touch on her body when the doctor said, cancer free. Cancer free. I want you to know that's bigger than any $26,000 that could be raised when God raises someone up from sickness. We're going to hear in the next years to come some of the greatest miracles this church or the church in St. Louis has ever seen because of the goodness of God's grace. He is that good and He loves us that much. He is gracious and He is compassionate. I love seeing my little man over here. Kason, my grandson, Kason, hi buddy, I love you, yeah, let him come up here, come here buddy, come here, come here, come here, come here, this is the greatest gifts, yeah, come here buddy, come here, come here, yes, come here, now I want you to know this is what the grace of God looks like, this is what the grace of God looks like. He my man. He is my man. He is my man. I want you to know what you have meant to my family over the last 16 years plus. We're going to start our 17th year. By the way, we got years to go. We got until Jesus comes back to go. Let me go ahead and give you back. Let me, come here, Grandma. And I'm going to get Grandma on the platform because without Grandma, I want her to come out here. Without Grandma, I'm not here today. Yeah. Yeah, come here, Grandma. Without Grammy, I am not here today. And so I just want you to, would you do this? This is the woman of my life of 35 years of marriage. We just celebrated it while we were gone. 35 years of marriage, and she has been amazing. Amazing. To live with me for 35 years, she is my Jesus with skin on. And I'm going to give you to Grammy. That's about the only person that she would accept coming up here to get him. Go back with Grammy and I'll see you in a little while. I love how you love my family. I love how you love my family. I really do. I met Barb and I met Kirk at the beginning of the service, and I want you to know, you are as precious the sight to come back and see the gift that the Lord has given me, someone new to sit and meet this morning. I don't know if you've met them yet, but I hope you'll meet Barb and Kirk by the end of this service. This is how we do. You come once, we know that you're at least interested enough to come. If you come back twice, we know that you've got some interest there, but I want you to know, so do we. And then when you come back the third time, you're ours. We adopt quickly around here. We really do. We are a family, and we adopt quickly. Joe and Tanya, you couldn't have given me a sweeter present to show up on our first Sunday back. We've missed you guys, and Joe, especially, to get you back here as well. Oh, my goodness. We love... I could list you all. I want you to know. I wanted to give you all a big hug this morning. I've missed you so bad. Rob, seeing you and Rhonda to my right is more important to me than you will ever know. You have no idea how great... I mean, for me, this is the gift of God that I am here today, that Gina and I are here today. I'm not here without Gina. That's true. I'm not here without Gina. Gina is the most important piece and rock in my life. She's the one that when the doors are closed, she talks straight to me. I mean, you clap, but I'm the one that receives it. Thank you so much. I've received a few things in the last 30 days. Directly from the Lord's throne out of Gina. In the name of Jesus Christ, I said, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, are you ready? It's going to be a short day, but I want you to know something. God, we have a great God. He is my, let me tell you, you saw the name of the message. What is it? Welcome to the party. I know what it is. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the party. Did you see it? Welcome to the party. I want to tell you, I want to ask you real quick a question. You ever received an invitation? Have you ever received an invitation to your home and you got that invitation? Boy, you got a great invitation recently, didn't you? From Habitat for Humanity, a home that God has blessed you guys with that we're going to be part of building in the days and the year or the next year to come, right? Have you ever received an invitation that was so exciting? Man, I got invited to this. Girls, do you remember when that guy invited you to prom? Come on, don't act like you don't remember that. Remember when that one guy asked you to marry him? Do you remember that? Don't shake your head like, oh my. Don't give me that look. Do you remember the invitation? I got an invitation years ago, Gina and I did, from Lou Brock in the mail. Lou. Can I tell you a little bit about this guy just real quick? I just want to give you some stats. Let me tell you who Lou Brock is if you don't know who Lou Brock is. Mike, how do you read this thing? Anyway, batting average, 293 lifetime. Hits, 400. Let me see here. Totals, I don't know how to read this thing. Anyway, hits, 3,023. Home runs, 149. Slugging percentage, 410. Runs, 1,610. Pay attention to this because I'm going to describe somebody else in a minute. Stolen bases, 938. He's most known for that. Most still in the National League, right, Mike? In the National League, right. Okay. Runs, 900 RBIs. Let's see. 1,610 runs. Stolen bases, 938. And I don't know what CS stands for, but anyway. Caught stealing. Never. Forget that one. You got to take a risk and be willing to fail, right? So I get an invitation from Lou, and it's to come to his statue dedication at Old Busch Stadium, you know, the cookie cutter stadium. And Gina and I, we'd gotten to know Lou and Jackie. I'm not name dropping. I'm telling you the story for a purpose. I don't like name dropping. But, you know, Lou's a local hero and a national figure. And so we got invited to the statue dedication, and we were on ESPN, and somebody spotted Gina on ESPN. And so we're sitting there. Let me tell you, it was amazing. And then afterwards, we'd go to Lou's house for lunch. Was really cool. Gina's sitting with Lou in his basement at the table, and Lou says, "Gina, am I dressed okay? I don't know if I'm really dressed okay." Look, she looks at Lou. She said, "It's your house. You can dress any way you want to." Lou said, "Nah, Jackie told me how to dress." So they had a great conversation, she and Lou, and I'm just enjoying watching Lou and Gina just connect with each other, had a nice relationship. So anyway, we're there at the statue dedication it's the who's who of baseball. Who's who of not just St. Louis baseball, it's the who's who of baseball that's there, you know? And the rain hits. Scatters the crowd. I get up and I'm standing there in front of this giant. I lost Gina. I had no clue where Gina went to. I found out she was having chips and salsa with Bob Forsh and a couple of guys up on the runway. I found that out later. So, I mean, I really didn't know where she was. I just knew it was drenched and we all ran. And so I'm standing there. I got my arms around this big guy to my right and a kind of a little guy like me on my left, you know. And I hear the big guy on my right say, "Don't move. Don't anybody move." Because this fan's blowing the rain away from us. So we're saying, he says, "Don't move. Don't anybody move." And I looked up to my right and I've got my arm around Bob Gibson. I didn't move. Can I just tell you, I didn't move. I wanted to stand there and hold Bob Gibson's, you know, and he had his arm around me. We're all doing this. "Don't move. Don't anybody move." Well, when Gibson says, "Do something," you do it. When he says, "Don't do something," you don't. Long story short, then the rain goes away and I go back and I sit. Nobody's moving back out. They didn't want to go back out. It was on TV. They had to go back to the presentation. And so I go back out on the first row. Guess who's sitting on the first row? Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Ozzie Smith, Willie McGee, Red Shandings, Ina Slaughter, Stan Musial was there. So I won't keep on naming. It was all of the living Hall of Famers. Bruce Sutter. I mean, he wasn't a Hall of Famer yet, but he was there. All of these guys that were my boyhood heroes, or as a young man, heroes. And I'm going, I am sitting with royalty. Jesus. Don't anybody move. And I look at Gina and I said, "Take pictures here. I got a camera." I found out when I got home there was no film in the camera. So I called my new friend that I met over at Lou's house that day, Mrs. Bush, August Bush's wife. I met a new friend. It was nice to have a new friend. So I called, what was her first name? Do you remember? Mrs. Bush. Who said that? Who said that? Teresa. So I called her, and I said, and I know her name. I'll think of it in a second. I said, would you do me a favor? Do you have any of those pictures? She said, I do. I said, would you send those to me? And I told her what happened. She died laughing. She said, I've done that 100 times. Long story short, she got saved, by the way. Mrs. Bush actually got saved. They're no longer married, but she got saved, came to faith, loves God. It's really a great, great story. Long story short, I just described to you who I got an invitation from, and I want to read an invitation to you that you have received as well. And it is from, I want to tell you about this invitation, and I want to tell you about the one who received it. Have you ever also, don't say, okay? Or in Espanol, say, no say. Anyway, have you ever received an invitation and you went, ooh? Do you ever receive that invitation when the guy asked you that you didn't want to ask you to the prom? Because you wanted so-and-so to ask you to the prom? And you went, oh! Have you ever experienced that? Well, listen, the world is doing that to this incredible invitation. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I'll tell you just a little bit about just before it. Jesus is actually speaking against the cities that he had gone and ministered in, and he is saying, woe to them. Woe to Capernaum. One of them is, he's saying, hey, woe to them, because I've been there and they were not transformed. Listen, if you've been in the company of Jesus and you have not allowed him to transform you, Jesus has a warning for you. Christ is a warning for all of us who have hung out with him and are not transformed. Can I tell you something? I'm not defending pastors today. Pastors do wrong things. I want you to know that. Pastors do wrong things. But listen to me. Judas had the perfect pastor. Judas had the perfect king. Judas lived with the pastor and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lived with him for 3 years, approximately. And he still failed. This invitation, after Jesus is, I mean, he is speaking he said to Capernaum, you will be there, you will be lifted to the skies. No, you will go down to, it says you won't be there, you will be actually cast down into the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, he says, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, this is just before scripture that I'm going to read to you. He says, I tell you, it would be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than you, Capernaum, and the other cities that he listed, because you've rejected my presence. Now he goes on. Here's the invitation. At that time, Jesus said, verse 25, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Verse 27, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28, here is the invitation. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened or heavy laden in the King James, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. If you're from Branson, it's humble in heart. And you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Do you know the yoke that he's talking about is a cattle yoke? It's actually a steer. It's for cattle to steer. It's as you're plowing through the field. That yoke is a heavy yoke, and I mean it keeps that oxen from controlling the person behind you. You literally because that yoke is so heavy and so restraining on the neck of that ox or oxen, you could control them. Just one man could control them. And Jesus says, if you come to me, the yoke you're going to wear is light. It's a different, completely experience. The things that you will do will be actually out of the love that you have for me. What does his word say? If you love me, keep my commands. I'm giving you the choice. You see, my burden's light. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. It's not a hard jerk to the right or a hard jerk to the left. You see, I'm trying to set you free from the law that you can't fulfill. So I have come to fulfill the law. I didn't come to do away with it. I came to fulfill it because none of us can. Christ fulfilled it for us, and he's giving us this invitation to his party. Let me tell you about the one who the invitation's from. I describe the baseball, Lou, but let me tell you about the one that this invitation comes from. The Bible says, let me read this a little bit. Isaiah chapter 6. If you want to turn there, you can. This is what Isaiah, the great prophet, saw when he saw into heaven. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted. Oh my God. Do you hear who the invitation's from? Do we get who the invitation's from? And he says, and it goes on to say, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. Two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were all calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is, do you catch who they just described? This is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the great baptizer. David said, he is my rock and my salvation. Says, he is my strong fortress, my mighty tower. He says, he is my strong deliverer. That's who he is. He is the King of Kings. And we get this invitation. I want you to know the invitation. I still have Lou's invitation. I protect that. I look at that. From Lou Brock. I did frame it. Yes, I did frame it. You know me all too well, don't you? You all know me. So I frame anything that's like that. By the way, I've never thrown away a photo that a child has drawn for me. I won't do that. You can look in my office. When Beth's shaking her head, yes, she cleans. She does our cleaning in the office. She knows everything I keep. It's precious to me. But this invitation, we treat it like it's, oh, it's no big deal. Just when we get in the mood, when we decide to really finally completely commit to him, the word says he is the great defender. He is the defender of our faith. He is my Alpha and Omega, my beginning and my end. He is the one who sets me free. The other day I was down at St. Louis County Courthouse or a jail. I was visiting someone. And I got in the elevator, and as is often asked when I'm in a courthouse setting or a jail setting, someone will look at me and inevitably they will say, are you an attorney? And I said, no. Well, what do you do? And I just had to say it. I said, I pastor St. Charles River Church. Then I was buying Polo the other day. You know, that's what I buy. I was buying Polo the other day, and the lady says, what do you do? She said, are you an attorney? I said, no, but I know the great defender. Oh, she said, you know him. I said, I do. She said, we go to faithchurch.com. I said, I know that church. It's a great church. I know the church. It is a great church. We bless that church. Can I tell you, he is your great defender. And we know the great defender. We know exactly who he is, because when the enemy wants to throw your past against you, he is the one who rises up on your behalf and he says, but your honor, my father, this is the one whom you've chosen through me. That's what Jesus just said. He said, it is revealed to those that you choose to reveal it to. And God has chosen to reveal it to us, the love and the mercies of God. And Christ goes before us. I've said in so many courtroom settings where the defense was going and going. I've sat through murder trials. I've sat through other kinds of you know, even lower accusations, things that were much more kind of a misdemeanor charge. And I can't tell you how impressive that is to watch those defenders stand up. It's not hard to accuse someone, by the way. Have you ever noticed the hardest thing in the world to do is give compassion to someone that's hurt you? You see, it's always easy to forgive someone if they've hurt someone else. You can defend the forgiveness issue if they've hurt someone else. It's never hard to actually say to someone, but you need to forgive them. You need to release that. It's for your own good. It's not just for their good. It's for their, but when it's you or when it's me that's offended against and when it's me that's been hurt brutally, it's so hard to defend that idea of forgiveness and defending them. I've told you the story many times. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version of it. The great defender, by the way, will also be the one who will go up one day and stand on the judgment seat. And the defending will end. And the books, the word says, and the book and the books will be open. Revelation says it'll all come time at that point. Now for the believer, we have an invitation. I'm going to give you that example in a second that I was going to give you. But for you and for me, we have an invitation to a meal called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you and I will get to go dine. And instead of this celebrity that we love, by the way, is a brother in the Lord, Lou Brock, and getting to hang with Lou, we get to hang with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will get to dine with him and rub elbows. I mean, can you imagine? Do we really believe this stuff? Do we really, I got one. I said, do we really believe this stuff? Well, this invitation ought to be framed in our homes. I am invited into the presence of the Holy of Holies, the one that the angels are crying right now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we as a church have this invitation. And I see yet blue chairs. And I just see that I can tell you, nobody said no to Lou Brock. Do you get the picture? Do you get the value system that we, the church, even operate by sometimes? Sometimes even as the church, we buy into this, que sera, sera. If you don't know Doris Day, I'll tell you later. Que sera, sera attitude towards the great invitation. We have this que sera, sera attitude toward the great commission. Do you know you have the authority to go invite? On his behalf, you and I have the authority and the great, didn't say the great option. He said it's the great commission. To go and invite on my behalf. He said, go into the highways and the byways. Bring them in and fill my house. Oh my goodness. Whose house? It's his. It's his place of worship. And he's given us this great commission. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
I am.
I am.
More than a conqueror.
I am.
I am. An overcomer. Do you remember our last Sunday when we were here? Do you remember? I am. Bought. Paid for. By the great defender. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to a party. I'm losing some of you. I'm going to a party. I'm sending my RSVP. And I'm bringing the guests. I said I'm bringing the guests. So bring them. Bring them. Do you know how many people I wanted to call and say, I'm going to Lou Brock? Well, I did, actually. I'm going to Lou Brock's house. Oh, dude, can I go? No. This one, yes, you can go. The problem is we're just not excited that we get to go to the house of the king. I mean, I get this. I've driven by Lou's house a few times, you know, and I'm like, oh, I've been there. I've been there. I told you the story about my mom with Grace. When my mom sat in the courtroom in 1988, we sat in the courtroom with the man that killed my brother. He was a drunk driver. I won't give you his name, but I know his name. We've prayed for him many times. He's sitting there alone. I've told you the story. He's sitting there alone, only his defense attorney. We're sitting behind the prosecution, and boy, this made the prosecution mad. When my mom says, he's sitting there alone, he doesn't even have a mother that will sit with him. Can I go sit with him? That's what my mom said. Can I go sit with him? You knew my mom. You knew her in her best days. You guys knew my mom in her best days. That was my mom. She was Maud. She was Medea. Combination. But she was a woman of compassion. Carried a loaded 45. That's the truth. It's true. She wouldn't hesitate to use it. It's true. I saw her take a drug dealer on one time. It wasn't mine, by the way. But it's the truth. This is my mom. She said, can I go sit by him? Boy, that made the prosecuting attorney hot. She said, ask the judge if I can. Well, he wouldn't let her. But that is what, you see, there was no one more hurt in that room than my mom. Because her son, on his 28th birthday, was killed by a drunk driver. And yet my mom looked at Eddie. I'll give you his first name. Looked at Eddie. He needs his mom. Do you know, we have the great defender. We have the great defender. I've seen God do miracles in courtrooms. I've seen it. I've been in the courtrooms when miracles happened. And one day, the greatest miracle of your life is going to take place when you hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the fullness of my kingdom. And by the way, I've given you this example as well. He's going to say, well done. He is not a liar. He is not a liar. I said he's not a liar. It'll either be well done or he's not going to be able to say that. And he says, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, what is the well done? The well done is the keeping his commands. And one of those was the Great Commission. And I really believe when I see his face that day, I believe with all of my heart, part of the well done will be when he looks behind you, grandma and grandpa, and he sees your children and he sees your children's children and he sees the impact wave of all the people that you brought into the kingdom as a result of sowing Jesus into your kid's life and them sowing Jesus Christ into your grandkid's life. One day my man over here is going to be able to give Jesus away. And the well done is going to be because the multitudes that come in as a result of how many people you've talked to, sown good seed in, given love. There's going to be a poor homeless man that's going to walk up to you someday and say, do you remember? I'm here because you loved me enough not to judge me. I probably lied to you, but you loved me. I get the greatest seat in the house. It's a seat called mercy. There's only one. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. There's only one who gets to sit on it, not me. It's got his name inscribed on it. The judgment seat of Christ. There's also the mercy seat. And I get the privilege of giving that away. Go into all the world. Give the invitation. I love, Mike, when you led the song this morning. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. Well, let's not just remember the communion. Let's also remember him. He gave, you know those pictures of videos you saw? He did that for us and for them. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we respond to your invitation today in the name of Jesus Christ. There are those that have said yes, Lord, to you in this service today. Bless them. Keep them. Make your face to shine upon them, that the mercies of God flow through us as a church family. That we would be there for them day and night whenever they have those times of weakness, God, that we would stand together. Let the men of this church who are rising up in this church, let the men of this church, God, rise together as brothers, bonded brothers, men of honor, God, in the name of this band of brothers. Let us as a church, and let the ladies gather together. Let the families be strengthened in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Father, have mercy. Because we believe you're coming back soon. And we will see the great defender. We will see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He will pull us away, and then we will ride with him one day. Revelation 19. We will ride with him one day on horses that are being assembled even to this day. In Jesus' name. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Will you do that?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.